An Alaskan-based nonprofit that does international aid work is running a school for Syrian refugees in Lebanon. Nate York is executive director of Solace International. He founded the small organization after the September 11th attacks and started building girls' schools in Afghanistan. Now, the nonprofit works on a wide range of small projects in South and Central America, Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. York says as he watched the civil war in Syria evolve, he decided Solace could make a difference.
Because we're nimble and we're able to just get in and get the real story of what's happening. So in December, I started planning of last year and then put together a budget for a project. I didn't know exactly what we were going to do. We've done schools, orphanages, clinics, micro businesses, agriculture. I don't make a decision on what we're going to do until I talk to the people on the ground. But I knew the crisis was bad.
How did you end up working with the Syrian refugees in Lebanon?
So the situation is extremely complicated, and there's three places where refugees are currently are. In Turkey, where the government has quite a bit of support and funding to house and feed the refugees. In Jordan, where it's big UN camps. And then in Lebanon, where there's very few or no refugee camps. So through a process of, you know, contacting people and making good connections on the ground, I chose to go to a place where there wasn't much support happening. And it just so happened that I was, through my contacts, led to a place called Rashaya, which is in the Bekaa Valley. And there's no UN presence as of March, no support.
You had talked earlier about getting to places and figuring out what people need first before you make a decision.
Right.
How did the decision come about to build a school?
So I interviewed 100 families, and one of the things that I do after having done this for a long time is I don't like to interview people in distress without doing something for them. Yet we're not big enough of an organization to provide massive amounts of food or cash relief. So we did put together basic food staple boxes, and I would meet with these families and just ask them a series of questions, find out who they were, where they're from, get a sense of what was going on in the ground in Syria, and get a sense of how they're doing in Lebanon. And basically, for the most part, people's biggest fear was not being able to pay rent in Lebanon. They just didn't have any more money. And that's not something that we could, the scale of providing rent for thousands of people was just way too big for us. But the second thing that kept coming up over and over again were parents just being concerned for their kids, you know, their kids being out of school. Syrians aren't familiar with war. If you know the history, they haven't been in war. I think oftentimes we like to say, oh, in the Middle East, they're crazy. It's war everywhere. Well, not in the case of Syria. They may have had a dictator, but they don't know war. So for these children, war is extremely, war is just traumatizing. And so that was kind of the second most important thing to the parents that I talked to. And from taking that information, that's where I started to begin to look at, was it feasible? Could we do it? Could we set up a school here in Lebanon?
What were the biggest challenges to getting it up and running?
The biggest challenge was finding a building. And just from my years of experience, you know, oftentimes the way to do it is not through traditional official channels. It's to just meet people and talk to them and kind of horse trade. And that's how you get things done. And so I met with the municipality there and basically just said to them, look, you guys have all these refugees in your town. They're not going away. Wouldn't it be better if you've got some space, wouldn't it be better to have some of these kids in school rather than just running, roaming around in the streets? And so they had a kind of broken down, defunct building with trash in it. And they said, okay, you can have this. And so we went in and within like a week, cleaned it out, painted it, put windows in it, glass in the windows. And from there, it was pretty easy. You know, got parents' approval for sending their kids to school, figured out which ones needed transportation, organized hot lunches, and then hired Syrian refugee teachers to teach.
What kind of conditions are the refugees living in, and how many are in Lebanon?
So it's over the million mark. And for example, in Rashaya, which probably has around 6,000 people, there's 12,000 refugees. So it's kind of, imagine living in a small town where there's double the population from another country that just plopped on your doorstep. Puts a lot of pressure on the local community. And the local community is pretty cool about it. I mean, they're from a different sect. They're Druze. Most of the refugees are Sunni. But they've been very generous to a point. I mean, the numbers are just ridiculous. And what's happened is, as the refugees cross the border about 40 kilometers north of where I'm working, they just fill up each town. And literally, there's no space in any single apartment building. They're, even half-finished buildings are full of people. And so they're just filling up town by town by town by town by town. And since I left in April, apparently the numbers have doubled just in that area. And frankly, there is no place for them to go. Lebanon is tiny. The country is literally being filled up. So conditions are hectic. I mean, you know, lack of water and lack of food and everything, you know, just financial ruin. People are stressed out. I mean, they're displaced. And they're middle class people. So it's not like, you know, these are people very similar to us. They had careers. You know, I've got tons of stories of just normal families they have no idea what they're going to do now.
Nate York is the executive director and founder of Solace International. He will be at Tarabella Coffee in Anchorage for First Friday this week, starting at 5:30.